10,000 years will give you such a crick in the neck. Hang on a second. Whoa! Wow! Does it feel good to be out of there? I'm telling you, nice to be back, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, where are you from? What's your name?
Aladdin.
Aladdin! Hello, Aladdin. Nice to have you on the show. Can we call you Al? Or maybe just Din? Or how about Lobby? Sounds like, here, boy. Come on, Lobby.
I must have hit my head harder than I thought.
Do you smoke? Mind if I do? Oh, sorry, Cheetah. I hope I didn't singe the fur. Yo, Rockman. Haven't seen you in a few millennia. Give me some tassel. Yeah, yo, yo. Say, you're a lot smaller than my last master. Either that or I'm getting bigger. Look at me from the side. Do I look different to you?
Wait a minute. I'm your master?
That's right. He can be taught. What would you wish of me?
The ever impressive.
The one contained.
Often imitated.
But never duplicated. Duplicated. Genie of the lamp. Right here, direct from the lamp. Right here for your very much wish fulfillment. Thank you.
Whoa. Wish fulfillment?
3 wishes to be exact. An ixnay on the wishing for more wishes. That's it. 3.
One of those three.
No substitutions, exchanges, every.
Now I know I'm dreaming.
This is Missing the Mouse. I'm Jeremy Pettigrew.
And I'm Brad Burleson.
This week we're going to take a little bit of a departure from our normal show to kind of remember Robin Williams. He was a wonderful actor, wonderful comedian. He was Genie in Aladdin. And it's really sad that he's passed away. And so we just wanted to kind of use this episode to kind of talk about our memories of him and just have a little memoriam.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is that while it's, you know, we're not going to spend an entire episode talking about an attraction or anything like that. I mean, I feel like this isn't that separated from what we normally talk about because, I mean, Robin Williams was, you know, just in the admittedly few roles that he played for Disney, was a pretty big force for Disney. I mean, he was a Disney, was inducted as a Disney legend, and I believe rightfully so.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't imagine Aladdin without Robin Williams as Genie. He just brought such a, you know, like he did for a lot of his roles, he brought like a really frenetic, quick energy to that part and just really, really made it unique.
Yeah, you know, it would be interesting to know what it was like for the animators.
Having to match up Genie's expressions and stuff with Robin Williams.
Yes, because, you know, everything that you read tells you that, you know, this guy was, and his demeanor speaks to, he was a guy that, you know, you kind of gave him the parameters and he would roll with it. You know, you could give him lines and he would roll with it. And, you know, he ad-libbed so much that, you know, with Genie, what really became, I feel like the character of Genie was Robin Williams. And yeah, that had to be insane to, you know, when they got the voice and they're like, okay, this is what we have to sync up with.
Right. And yeah, I hadn't even thought about the fact that he ad-libbed, you know, and having to, because they had to animate the mouth, you know, all the facial expressions and Genie's mouth to say these crazy, wacky things that Robin Williams would say. I'm sure it was a nightmare, but it was worth it.
Oh, yeah, definitely worth it. And, you know, in looking into just trying to research kind of Robin Williams and the Disney side of things, because again, while, you know, trying to stick at least a little bit to, you know, this is kind of our bread and butter, Disney. And, you know, we want to take some time to look at Robin Williams' career, and where those two intersect. It's just, it's kind of crazy that movie, created a rift between him and Disney, for quite a long time because of how he was paid for that, how they handled the marketing, you know, that what to me, when I think Robin Williams, I cannot separate him from Genie, but it really seems like it wasn't a role that he really desired to be attached that strongly to.
Yeah. I think it was probably one of those things that over time he became more attached to. But yeah, at the time it seems like that was a job to him,
He took his scale pay and he was busy trying to push a different movie at the time, really, and wasn't happy with Disney choosing to attach him to the project, because he was supposed to, you know, there were very, very specific things that, you know, it can be attributed as the, you know, basically he wasn't supposed to be headlined,
right,
in that. And yeah, it's like, and I guess it's because as a kid, I mean, you don't hear about this stuff, you know, you don't focus on this stuff. You just think the genie is hilarious, you know, and not to take away from the tragedy or anything, but, you know, honestly, one of the thoughts that went through my head was how weird, how surreal would it be to be the guy who's doing Genie? Because, you know, at Disneyland, they have the Aladdin stage show.
In Broadway.
Yes. Yeah. And in Broadway. And how surreal must it be to be the guy who's doing the Genie? And the Genie in that show is also very much, I mean, it's an amalgamation of Robin Williams. It's not that actor there, I don't think, by any stretch, because when you see that genie, it immediately harkens back to the genie from the movie, which is, I mean, you know, you listen to Robin Williams albums, you watch Robin Williams, mm-hmm. and that's who he is, or, you know, well, I guess who he was, but who he is, just exudes out of that character. And, you know, and suddenly you're a person tasked with doing that, knowing, you know, what had happened. I just, wow. That had to be heavy.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think ultimately that character became less of a Disney character and more of a Robin Williams character, if that makes sense. You know, he kind of made it his own in such a way that I don't think that Genie really belongs to Disney anymore, you know? And that's why the guy in Disneyland and the guy on Broadway is really doing Robin Williams when they're playing Genie. They're not doing Genie, they're Robin Williams. And so,
yeah, right. This isn't a character that Disney created. Disney came up with the persona for. Disney came up with, he's going to have this way of speaking, he's going to have this demeanor.
Robin, they said, hey, let's bring in Robin Williams. What it is.
Yes. Yeah, and so that's, yeah, I agree completely. That is who he became. I mean, or Genie, that is who he became. Mm-hmm. He became a conduit for Robin Williams.
And then he went on to do, I mean, he was in Flubber, and, you know, another Disney film much later. That was the late 90s, early 2000s, I believe. I'm not sure exactly what year, but he did other Disney films after that. You know, I suppose their relationship mended in a way that he felt okay doing it.
Yeah, and you know, it did finally mend. And honestly, looking at the incredible job that Robin Williams did as Genie, you know, it just, it seems really sad. I mean, just the possibilities that were there for him to play other roles if that rift hadn't been created in the first place, you know?
Yeah.
And I hope that, I think you would have had some difficulty not just pigeonholing him as Genie every mm-hmm. time after that, because again, Genie was Robin Williams, and Robin Williams was so good at being himself. But at the same time, yeah, there, you know, just think of the comedies that he could have played a part in. Just think of where the openings the animators would have had if they would have had the opportunity to know that he was available.
Yeah.
For some things, you know?
Yeah. But at the same time, what kind of, you know, I feel like that would have really typecast him, and he would have belonged to Disney, kind of how Jim Cummings does.
Yeah, very true.
You don't. Jim Cummings doesn't do anything that's not part of the mouse.
And he's comfortable in that, I guess. Yeah, well. And you know, and that's kind of the interesting thing about Robin Williams, though, is he did stretch himself as an actor, I guess. He played his funny roles. He played mm-hmm. his family friendly roles. But he also, he also tried to break out of that shell with, I think of movies like One Hour Photo. That was just a total departure for him. And, I know not a Disney film, but.
Well, even Good Will Hunting was like that too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and the ability to do that, the ability to show that range of emotion and to not be that guy that when people, okay. So Steven Seagal, when you see his name and tied into a film, you know, immediately what kind of film it's going to mm-hmm. be, you know, what person he's going to play because he plays Steven Seagal in every film.
Yeah.
You know, in a comedy, like we said with Aladdin, Robin Williams brought Robin Williams to that film. But at the same time, you know, Good Will Hunting, that was Robin Williams, but that was a total departure from, you know, that was not Genie. That was right. not Mrs. Doubtfire.
Right.
That
but
was,
he still brought Robin Williams.
Yes. Yes. He brought a three-dimensional person
mm-hmm.
And brought the part that he needed to bring rather than Steven Seagal brings, you know, face puncher.
Right.
Which, I don't have a problem with Seagal. Again, it's a known quantity, but yeah, just the ability of Robin Williams to have that range
mm-hmm.
And that ability to grow and to change as needed for his roles was really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. When he was, I guess to bring it back around to the Disney parks, there was an attraction in Tomorrowland called Timekeeper that he was kind of the star of.
Yeah, and again, that's okay. So, I know you didn't get to do Timekeeper, did you?
Timekeeper was before. So my first trip to Disney was in 2007, and I believe Timekeeper closed in 04?
06.
06. Okay.
Yeah,
and
in 06. So you
missed it.
Just missed it by a year. And okay, so Timekeeper was one of those attractions that I feel like, given a different setup, it would have been such a throwaway attraction. And the reason I say that is because basically what you had was you had the 360-degree camera setup, or screen setup, I guess. For those of you that it's circle vision like you have in, I think O Canada features it over in Epcot.
Yeah, it does.
Basically where you have screens all the way around you, all showing different things, so that you get that 360-degree view as things are happening. And then you've got an audio animatronic, which is Robin Williams as the Timekeeper. And again, he brought Robin. I mean, if you take the time, go to YouTube and find a video of the Timekeeper and watch, again, just Robin Williams being Robin Williams and totally making this a really, really, really fun attraction. And you're looking at repurposed technology. There wasn't, you know, again, Robin Williams was the hook for this, you know, and I guess Rhea Perlman is as the camera. She was funny as well. You had Jeremy Irons in there and everything. But again, I personally feel like Robin Williams was what made that show. And, you know, looking back on it, I feel like, I don't know that I did it more than once. I feel like it would have been totally unmemorable, though, save for his performance, again, of being himself, of being that guy that he was in Genie, of, you know, just being that crazy, neurotic, funny person that he was.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because that was one thought that I had was, going back and watching it, I was like, man, everything about this kind of sucks, except for, you know, Robin.
Yeah. It was in Tomorrowland, where, Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor is now. And I don't remember what was there before, but honestly, looking at it now, it almost seems like it was probably something to fill some space because we don't have another good idea, or we don't have the money for the idea, or whatever it was. But it became I feel like it became a decent attraction because they hired such a good actor to handle the part.
Yeah, it definitely became a more fun attraction for that reason.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And I think that's, what was it? It was there from 94 to 06.
No, that sounds right.
I'm just pulling dates out of my butt, but
yes, something in the 90s to 06. So it was there for a couple of years.
Yeah. And I mean,
it had a decent run.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that was due to the fact that of him.
Yes. In fact, I feel like I saw somebody making a comment somewhere that, you know, you could probably replace Captain EO with, well, actually not with this film, but his other film, Return to Neverland, or let me double check that because I don't want to, Back to Neverland, excuse me. I thought that sounded wrong. Back to Neverland, which actually was his, so when Disney MGM Studios, back when, before it was Disney Hollywood Studios, they had an animation tour because it was an actual working animation building. He was actually in like a pre-show, if you will, film with Walter Cronkite. And it's like I think maybe a 10-minute watch. And I'll make sure that we have a link to it in the show notes, and on this, you know, and on the site and everything, when we push the show up. But, you know, they were like, dude, you could totally put that in the Imagination Pavilion, replace Captain EO, or heck, let's, you know, run one time, one the other time, and you wouldn't get any complaints because it was a really cool film.
And again, I've not.
Oh, you need to go. You need to go check this out.
I've not had the pleasure.
So this was something that I had actually forgotten about. You know, I remember doing the animation tour mostly because they were working on The Emperor's New Groove when I went through there, and I remember seeing the animators actually working on cells for The Emperor's New Groove at the time. But upon watching just like the first 3 minutes of this video, I was like, oh yeah, I totally remember that video. It was actually really funny, and it kind of explains the animation process to you, and that's what they were using it for. They were using it to help you understand what you're about to see on this tour. But instead of the dry, welcome to Disney Animation Studios, today you're going to see many aspects of animation, beginning with storyboarding, then on to recording, and you will learn how a cartoon is made. You know, something like that was really dry. No, instead you have Robin Williams, again, I guess being Robin Williams.
Okay, I think I may have seen that.
Okay.
Is it like when he popped off the page? I don't know. I may have seen something else. I feel like, I don't know.
Okay, so in this, he becomes a one of the Lost Boys. That's what they draw him as, a Lost Boy.
Okay, yeah, no, I haven't seen it.
Okay, so yeah, definitely I'm going to send that to you so that we can put it on there and you will get to check it out as well.
And it'll be in the show notes.
Yes, it will be in the show notes. But again, that was just another thing that Robin Williams made better. And I mean, and I feel like that's what he did so often. I don't know, maybe this is my childhood catching up to me or something, but I look at films like Mrs. Doubtfire and I go, you put a different actor in this and it's such a cruddy movie, possibly.
Yeah. Mrs. Doubtfire would be a really weird movie, I think, with another actor.
Yeah. I say that and I'm like, I don't even know that you could make that movie with another actor.
Yeah.
You know, but you have those movies where you've had other actors try to make those films and they feel like throwaway films in their career. And yet it became a really big film in Robin Williams, at least I feel like for me. And again, you know, I was a child at the time, so it probably feeds into the way, you know, and there's probably somebody listening going, oh my gosh, that film. But for me, that was a big part of Robin Williams. And it was another film that it was good because it was Robin Williams, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't want to draw this out too much. I don't really have much more to say about everything. Do you?
You know, I think that one other thing that we should really hit on here is, You know, we all saw that. We all saw Robin Williams, and we all felt like, I mean, when you see him in so much stuff, when you watch him in so many things, you feel like this is somebody you know. But yet there was this whole other side to him, dealing with depression, you know, that clearly nobody was aware. And we as the audience have no business knowing that right. That's part of his life. You know, he had no requirement to share that with us by any stretch, but you know, I sure hope that he was sharing it with somebody. And you know, if you're out there, guys, if you're having an issue with this, it's not that it doesn't make you weird. You are not alone in a bubble. There are a lot of people that deal with this. Please reach out to somebody, reach out to a professional, get help. It does not make you a weak person by any stretch to reach out there and get help. Don't, you know, whoever you are, you're just as important. You know, nobody needs to be lost to something like this just because they're caught up in it, you know? So
it's a disease. I mean, just like you would treat a cold or, you know, any other disease, it's a disease. And it does, you're right. It does not make you weird, and it does not make you an outcast. And it's something that can be helped.
Yeah. And reach out, get the help. If this is something that you're dealing with,
please,
there are lots and lots of resources available. So please reach out, get that help. Don't allow that to define you.
There's someone out there who loves you. And if you've got no one to say it, then I'll say it. I love you.
There you go. And I love you too. So there's two people right there. You've got a good start. Now, get out there and get the help if that's what you need.
Yeah. That'll do it for this week. We'll talk to you guys next week, and have as magical a day as you can.